Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. You can listen to this live at any time at kpcg.fm. Thousands of years of history prove that God's people are likely to rebel when a strong leader dies. Notice this warning from the prophet Moses to ancient Israel just before he died. This is Deuteronomy 31, verse 29. "For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands." The late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong, toward the end of his life, warned the worldwide Church of God in a similar way. He often said to the entire church, "You just don't get it." He would criticize much of the ministry for not attending church Bible studies. He would challenge members in the audience while he was speaking to come up on stage and try to explain what he was explaining, asking them, "Could you really prove this for yourself? Could you teach this right now if you had to?" He noticed that there was a Laodicean or lukewarm condition in the church, even right before he died. The 1970s are proof of that. Mr. Armstrong died in 1986, but in the 1970s, there was already what they call a synagogue of Satan inside the church, and it was trying to turn the church to liberalism and Protestantism. Revelation 3, verse 9 has that synagogue of Satan name there. So he knew from recent history, he knew from thousands of years of history of ancient Israel, that too often God's people rely on a strong leader. They just follow a man, and they get complacent, they fall asleep spiritually, and when they least expect it, Satan attacks. In fact, the rebellion of the WCG after Mr. Armstrong died was prophesied too. Here's what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. "For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now restrains," it should read, "will restrain until he be taken out of the way." This is talking about one man, Mr. Armstrong, single-handedly keeping God's church on track while he was alive. And then God removed him. He wasn't going to live to see Christ's return. And God wanted to test the church to see how they responded to that. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." The way that the WCG fractured after Mr. Armstrong died was because of God's doing. God wanted to test the church to see how they would react to that, to see if they were really proving the truth for themselves, if they really valued their future reward, or if they were just following a man who was great at speaking and great at writing. Maybe they only valued a strong personality like Mr. Armstrong, and they weren't really in it for the right reasons. And sure enough, 95% of the church did rebel after Mr. Armstrong died. Mr. Armstrong was right to be concerned about that. Today we're going to look at chapter 2 of a book called Malachi's Message to God's Church Today. This was written by Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Flurry. This chapter is titled Hold Fast. This is exactly what God is looking for in a situation like this. When a strong leader has died, what are we going to do? Well, God hopes that we'll hold fast, but only a small group will do that. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15 says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." As Mr. Fleury explains here on Malachi's Message, page 19, the word traditions is rendered instructions in other translations. So God warns us to hold fast to his past instructions. Our spiritual well-being depends on it. Now you can see from the history of the WCG after Mr. Armstrong that they did not hold fast. They didn't value the teachings that God gave to the church through Mr. Armstrong. Although at first they pretended like they cared. At first they talked about Mr. Armstrong's greatest book, Mystery of the Ages, as if it was the heart and soul of God's work, as if it was the indispensable core of all church doctrine. And yet it didn't take long for them to discontinue that book entirely. In fact, just took until 1988, 2 years later. What changed? Why would they be so fired up and sound so excited about Mystery of the Ages only to discontinue it entirely a couple years later? Mr. Armstrong had a goal for that book. He wanted to reach the largest audience possible. There's no way that goal was accomplished in about 2.5 years. The church would publish literature in 8 different languages, and Mystery of the Ages hadn't yet been translated into most of those languages. So right there, you know that the book had not reached a saturation point, as those rebellious leaders called it. They complained about this book costing too much money, even though it was only about $1 or so per copy. At the same time that the church was raking in almost $200 million annually, they said they couldn't afford to print this book. This book that makes plain the mystery of the ages, all of the most important questions in the entire Bible. Who and what is God? What about the angels and the evil spirits? What is man? What makes us so different from the animals? How did this evil human civilization start? What about ancient Israel? Why did God choose to work through that one nation? What is God's church? And how can you find it? And of course, the kingdom of God. Mystery of the Ages covered all of these foundational, fundamental, vital biblical subjects. And yet the leaders after Mr. Armstrong lied. They said that the book had already reached as many people as it could, pretty much, and that it was just too expensive to continue producing. And of course, they gave a third reason, eventually, that there were errors in it. Specifically, as they said in private, the book was riddled with error. Now, you can go onto thetrumpet.com. You can look up Mystery of the Ages, read the entire thing for free, request your free copy of it there too. You can study it for yourself. You can turn to all the scriptures in the Bible that are referenced in that book, and you can prove that it is true, that it is God who wrote that book, as Mr. Armstrong said. Mr. Armstrong said he felt like he was only a tool in God's hands to write that incredible book. And while Mystery of the Ages is not on the level of the inspired Word of God in the Bible, it is a book that helps the Bible come alive, and it does make the Bible become plain to the reader. Is this not a valuable piece of literature for God's church to reproduce? Why would they get rid of it? Well, they were changing direction. The church was changing direction after Mr. Armstrong died. They discarded hundreds of thousands of copies of that book within a couple years after Mr. Armstrong had died. They lied and said that they were going to try to get rid of the supposed errors in it and reprint it, and they never did that either. Page 22 of Mystery of the Ages, or of Malachi's message, says about Mystery of the Ages, less than 3 years after his death, the leaders of the WCG discontinued the very heart of Christ's work through Mr. Armstrong. How soon, some forget. Less than 3 years. Of course, if Mr. Armstrong had been alive, the leadership there wouldn't have even dared to try to discontinue that book. They would have been fired on the spot for doing something like that. But those leaders didn't care what God thought. They didn't care what God's man, Mr. Armstrong, thought. They were concerned about critics, people who would lie and call Mr. Armstrong a racist or a radical fundamentalist. They didn't want to be associated with that. They couldn't stand up to the criticism, even though that criticism was totally inaccurate. The WCG also got rid of the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong. I've been covering that a lot on my other show, Behind the Work, and will do so some more this coming Monday. But here's what Mr. Flurry said about this book. Page 25 of Malachi's message. This is perhaps the second most important book Mr. Armstrong wrote. It tells the history of the Philadelphia era better than any other book. That seems like a book worth keeping around, doesn't it? On page 26, Mr. Flurry says, never was a better book written on how to be a minister. All of us are called to that office in the world tomorrow. The autobiography is the best history book we have of God's work. It's not just history of Mr. Armstrong. This is vital history of the beginning and growth of the Philadelphia era of God's church. Again, what is wrong with reproducing that book? Why would they get rid of it? You can see the same type of attack on history today. And what does that lead to every time? When people are ignorant of history, as Winston Churchill said, they are doomed to repeat it. A lot of the time, if we don't read history, we'll have to learn lessons the hard way through hard experience that we could have simply learned just from reading the book. The WCG also discontinued The Incredible Human Potential. This was a book that the church was saying should have been worn out from repeated readings by church members. Church members should have been wearing out their personal copies of The Incredible Human Potential, because this book expounds on the purpose for our existence on earth. Isn't that worth talking about? Isn't that worth distributing to the entire world? Billions of people on the planet right now do not know why they exist. They don't have understanding of their rightful purpose, their God-ordained purpose. They just go about life, maybe seeking temporary pleasures or temporary relief from hardship. Maybe they'll set a goal of money or career success, but all of that is fleeting. You can study the book of Ecclesiastes, and in that book, King Solomon talks about how his entire life he sought every kind of pleasure. And he had anything you could imagine, because he was a wealthy king of an entire nation. Anything he could have ever dreamed of, he went out and obtained for himself. And yet in that book, he's telling everyone who reads it, it wasn't worth it. It didn't make me happy. It didn't last. So don't we need to understand something a lot deeper, something really worth living for? beyond those pleasures, The Incredible Human Potential is another book available for free at thetrumpet.com, just like the autobiography, just like Mystery of the Ages, and just like the book we're talking about today, Malachi's Message. This book was written by Mr. Fleury to warn the WCG ministers. They were leading God's people into the abyss, and they had to be told to wake up. And the church members had to be told, judge your leaders. Determine whether they're actually following Christ. And if they're not, you have to leave them behind. You can't just keep following one church organization as it destroys all of God's truth. The WCG did replace Mystery of the Ages, though, with this booklet titled Who Was Jesus? As Mr. Fleury exposes here in his book, Malachi's Message, the Who Is Jesus booklet revealed a disturbing change in direction. The WCG has moved away from the message of Christ and is focusing more and more on the messenger, just as the Protestants do, Mr. Fleury wrote on page 27 of Malachi's Message. It's a change in direction. And this change in direction is prophesied. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 5. Christ is warning his disciples, don't let any man deceive you. Verse 5 there, he says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. In other words, many false religious teachers will come saying that Jesus is Christ. And it will be a very deceptive message. A message that is focusing on Christ, the man himself, and not his gospel of the good news of the kingdom of God that he actually preached. Christ didn't want human beings to marvel at him while he was on this earth. He wanted them to open their ears and listen. His message was what was really important, and it still is today. Page 29 of Malachi's Message, Mr. Fleury writes, the Bible shows that God's church is usually deceived from within. And of course that's true. That should make sense. That should be obvious to us. Anyone who finds God's church had to wade through a lot of lies and deception out there to even get to this point. To even be listening to this show right now, or to be watching the Key of David television program, or to be reading from thetrumpet.com or from the Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine. There was a lot of falsehood, a lot of deception to come through to get here. So once we get here, the easiest way for Satan to deceive us is to do so from within, from people who are in the church at the time and are disloyal. And so God commands us to remember and to hold fast. Malachi 4 verse 4 says, remember you the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. And as Mr. Fleury is talking about, this is about going back to the beginning. Israel received God's law, the Ten Commandments, at Horeb, or Mount Sinai. This was the beginning of their covenant with God, their spiritual lives. They needed to remember that if they were going to remain loyal, if they were going to take the promised land without any problems, and sure enough, that's not what happened. They ended up being delayed because they weren't obeying God. Likewise, members of God's church have to remember where it all began. We have to know about history. That's what Malachi in the Bible talks about over and over. Mr. Fleury says here on page 30 of Malachi's Message, this is where the church fails at the very end and becomes the Laodicean era. Because people forget. Because people don't value their future anymore. Revelation 3 verse 11 commands us to hold fast to our crown. There's a chance of marrying Jesus Christ. Is that not worthwhile? Is that not something to fight for and protect? I had a great conversation with my father-in-law a couple months ago, and he said, polish your crown daily. That means putting in daily effort to be doing what's right every day in every aspect of our lives, obeying God in every detail, because that's the only way that we hold on. That's the only way that we remain loyal and receive such an epic reward. We heard a Bible study recently here in the Edmond congregation of the PCG. And there was a story about a man who had this rock. And he just liked to buy and sell rocks. He didn't really know how much value this one rock had. But it turned out this rock was worth millions of dollars because there was a rare diamond inside. What do you think that man did with that rock once he found out how valuable it was? Do you think he shoved it under the bed, or do you think maybe he put it in a safe and really took care of it and protected it and made sure no one else could steal it from him? We would be willing to do anything to protect a possession like that. But what about God's truth? What about our future reward? Becoming God as God is God. Not on his level of authority, of course, but still part of his family. Is that not worth protecting? Mr. Armstrong asked the question, would you rather receive gold valued at $50,000 or a trial to build your character? Then he went on to explain, if you're going to choose that gold, you'd be making the wrong choice. We have to have the right perspective here. We have to know what really is valuable. Here's what it says in Malachi 2 verse 4. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Mr. Fleury says here on page 30, this is a specific prophecy about Malachi's message. God said, I sent this message to you, and you shall know that God sent it. They will know before or during the great tribulation that Malachi's message is from God. We all have to prove it now or have it proven to us the hard way later. The book of Malachi also talks about ministers keeping knowledge, which means to watch, to guard, to fasten with nails. That's in Malachi 2, verses 7 through 8. It just makes me picture a guard dog in the backyard. And if anyone tried to hop the fence and invade that house, that dog wouldn't let it happen. That dog would be awake and barking and on the attack. Ministers are meant to guard the truth, not let it slip away, not lead the members astray, which is what they did in the WCG. They fell asleep and they led away thousands and thousands of God's people with them. Here on the last page of the chapter, chapter 2 here, hold fast of Malachi's message. Page 31, Mr. Fleury writes, Malachi was a reformer trying to lead the ministers and the people back to the law. Again, it gets back to that controversial word, obey. We just have to obey the law. The Ten Commandments, if applied to the full spiritual intent, would solve all of our problems. Individually, in our families, in our communities, our nations, and even in the entire world. The law has to be applied in the church because the church must set the example for the world, and the church is going to lead the world very soon. We have to get the law right today. We must be thankful for this book, Malachi's message, that really did get God's church back on track, even though it was just a small group of people who actually listened to that warning. So we've been talking today about chapter 2 of Malachi's message titled Hold Fast. Thanks so much for listening today. Again, like I said on Monday, I'll be getting back into the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong with some more really important lessons from his life. So thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.